From NPR News in Washington, I'm Shea Stevens. Japanese officials say they have evacuated all workers from a crippled nuclear reactor. NPR's Nell Greenfield-Boyce has more on the rapidly changing emergency.
Government spokesman Yukio Edano said that white smoke was rising from the number 3 reactor at the Fukushima Daiichi power plant and that officials were investigating the cause. He said that radiation levels had been fluctuating by the hour, but that they had spiked rapidly this morning and that even the minimal workforce was evacuated. He said that something similar to what previously happened at Reactor 2 may be happening at Reactor 3, a possible problem with the reactor's containment valve. Meanwhile, efforts continue to try to cool the storage pool at reactor number 4. He said officials were still trying to decide the best course of action and that simply adding a lot of water quickly could pose risks. Nell Greenfield-Boyce, NPR News.
The crisis in Japan is beginning to have an effect on the U.S. auto industry. NPR's Sonari Glinton says some Japanese automakers are slowing production in North America as concerns about supplies mount.
All 7 of the major Japanese automakers have either idled or significantly scaled back production at their plants in Japan. But most of the Japanese cars sold in the U.S. are made in North America. Mitsubishi, Suzuki, Nissan, and Honda's U.S. facilities are operating as normal. Meanwhile, Subaru of America has suspended overtime at its sole U.S. plant. Toyota is suspending overtime and production on Saturdays as well at all of its North American plants. Both automakers are trying to conserve parts as supply shipments from Japan to the U.S. have been disrupted. Sonari Glinton, NPR News.
Japanese shares rebounded sharply in early trading Wednesday, a day after shares there fell 10%. Wall Street shares lost ground around 1% after recovering from a nearly 300-point loss earlier in the day. Only 499 stocks posted gains. Canadian fugitive Farida Malm is facing terrorism charges in the United States and Canada for allegedly helping train a would-be terrorist. NPR's Kerry Johnson says the Justice Department accuses Amman of helping other men get training in Pakistan.
Farid Imam grew up in East Africa. He moved to Winnipeg, Canada as a boy and attracted attention for his skills playing soccer. Imam left the Canadian prairie for Pakistan in 2007. There, authorities say he started a very different life. Prosecutors in Canada and the U.S. now accuse Imam of helping train alleged subway bomb plotter Najibul Azazi and 2 other men. The FBI uncovered the plot in 2009, before the men were able to carry it out. Imam now faces charges of supporting al-Qaeda and using a destructive device. If he's found and convicted at trial, he could get life in prison. Kerry Johnson, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR News. The U.S. Senate votes next on a bill to extend government spending another 3 weeks while lawmakers work on finalizing a budget. The House has already approved the stopgap bill, which includes $6 billion in budget cuts. White House spokesman Jay Carney says President Obama supports the measure and is also hoping for stepped-up progress on a final budget agreement. The Obama administration is delaying approval for a controversial new oil pipeline from Canada. As NPR's Martin Costi reports, the pipeline would bring more oil from the tar sands region of Alberta.
The oil comes from a pasty stuff that's mined or steamed out of the ground under the boreal forests of Alberta. That gives it a bigger carbon footprint than regular oil, just one of the reasons the new pipeline is opposed by environmentalists such as Susan Casey Lefkowitz of the Natural Resources Defense Council.
We really can't be investing in fuels right now that make global warming worse.
But the pipeline's defenders say it will make the U.S. less dependent on oil from the Middle East. The State Department has jurisdiction over the pipeline because it crosses the border, and it says it will do a supplemental environmental impact statement and take public comment later this spring. Martin Costi, NPR News.
Opposition leaders in Bahrain are weighing their next move following the government's crackdown on demonstrators. The Persian Gulf nation is under a 3-month state of emergency following clashes between protesters and troops. Saudi-led forces from several nations in the region are aiding the ruling family's efforts to put down the citizen revolt. The unrest is playing out in the capital, Manama, and surrounding villages. I'm Shea Stevens, NPR News, from Washington.
Support.